Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
13 minutes left to play. The Ravens take a 20-10 lead.
Keep on getting back up. You keep on swinging. Keep on competing.
And the New York Giants move to 5-1.
Anytime you win in this league is big, but we got to start expecting stuff like this.
I'll tell you something, folks. This New York Jets team is for real.
Some people need to see it happen. The more it becomes a visual, the more you start believing.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and we are now on ESPNU. By the way, click more on the ESPN app. It's on the bottom right-hand corner. Scroll down and listen live. You don't need to be in your car. You don't need to be near your radio. If you have a phone in your pocket and the ESPN app on it, you got your boys live. You don't even have to wait for the podcast.
Yes, that is correct, KM.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
We just said KM? You just skipped over to J?
No, he just gave my initials, I think, but you reversed them.
Yeah, I reversed it.
Oh. MK.
Oh, MK.
No, but yes. Kellerman.
Yeah, Kellerman.
Oh, Kellerman.
Yeah.
Oh. That was
Don't weird. Worry, J-Dub. I got you.
Welcome so to KM sometimes. In the morning. And Jay. All right. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Coverage of Yankees and Guardians. Game 5 begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Jay wants that to be PJM. Eastern.
PJM.
Followed by Game 1 of the National League Championship between the Padres and Phillies. Coverage starts at 7:30. Guys, there's a lot to get into. I mean, if the Yankees lose tonight, would that be a bigger disappointment than the Dodgers losing?
No.
Dodgers won 111 games. But they ran into a Padres team you should have handled, but still.
Man, we took care of the Padres in the regular season, so naturally we walk in, we take care of Game 1. And then we lose two straight.
Yeah, but the Padres at least were a team that went, they pushed their chips in the middle of the table, rightly or wrongly thinking this is our season, right? They did make major acquisitions this year.
Yeah, but in a regular season, when you look at the way we played the Padres, you just naturally thought, okay, yeah, they got Machado and Soto and company, but we took care of business. The one thing we went wrong at is they got Hader at the closer. I don't think we should have ever let our closer in Kenley Jansen go, although in the last several years, he struggled to a degree.
Getting older.
But look, he did well this year.
You know, the Yankees in the first half had a record-setting pace. The Dodgers stayed consistent in the second half. The Yankees fell off because the bullpen, everyone got hurt. But, Aaron Judge sets all the records, Jay.
But, Max, that's my point, though. Aaron Judge, it felt like single-handedly kept you guys afloat.
In the second half,
like during a downturn where the Dodgers had complete dominance from the beginning to the end of the regular season. I mean, we just had Jessica Mendoza on, and we were talking about what's best for baseball. You guys are talking about, yeah, you want to see Aaron Judge in Game 5 tonight in the ALDS come to the plate. Like, that's what made Reggie Jackson, right? You want to see
today,
that moment.
Today is the anniversary, 1977. Yeah.
But that's my point. That's what's best for baseball. If you were to see the Dodgers, the team that was the most consistently the dominant team, still be dominant in the postseason.
Yeah, but we clinched a month early. We clinched like a month, month and a half early. We were done.
We weren't playing meaningful games
for a long time. Rolling people out there playing pickle, you know?
Yeah. That's why, just like we're talking about with the Packers, you think the Packers be best served to be a 6 or a 7 seed.
Think about when we won the whole chip. We didn't win the division.
Right.
Even though it was the pandemic year, so to speak. But we didn't win the division.
The problem with the Dodgers, one of the problems could have been they stopped playing meaningful games for too long a period between, there was too long a period where they weren't playing games that really mattered. And so you can fall flat a little bit.
We didn't have our foot on the pedal.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Padres, though, making that move for Manny Machado, also losing Fernando Tatis Jr. I mean, they've done it, man.
Machado did it in the field. He did it at the plate. Yep.
Shout out to that was 4 years ago.
Harrison Bader for the Yankees, by the way. I kept bringing this up during SportsCenter. He's the third center fielder in the history of the Yankees, 100-something years already, that's ever hit 3 home runs in a postseason series. The other two were Bernie Williams, who's a great player, and Mickey Mantle, who's one of the best players ever.
I'm just laughing because when that deal went down, you did not like it.
No, I didn't.
I didn't like it at all. You were not about it. And now it's so funny listening to you because it's a complete turn.
Yeah, because I give it up based on what I see. My problem with Bader was this. Cashman made the move because he's a great glove in center. No one doubts that. but I didn't know if he would hit enough to stay in the lineup. He's from the area. He went to Horace Mann High School, one of the best private schools in the city, Horace Mann, up in the Bronx. But so he's a local product. But he's not a home run hitter. Jay hit 3 home runs in a 5-game series. If Aaron Judge did the same thing, you know, like people say, well, Judge can't, you can't win. Just if Judge hits 2 home runs tonight, Yankees probably going to win the game. That's why Reggie was so big. Reggie today, 45 years ago today, hit 3 home runs in a World Series game. You know, the odds are almost zero that you're going to lose a game if one dude hits 3 home runs.
Everybody's careers are made in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You can ball out in the regular season. There's no question about it in any sport. But the chip, when the chips are on the line,
who does
and
what?
It's the postseason, is who does what.
So wait.
So many years we talked about Peyton Manning. He can't do. He's a great regular season quarterback until eventually he got over the hump and he dominated a little bit in the postseason. That's the same way. Mr. October is Mr. October for a reason.
So Max, let me ask you this question. Considering the dominance that we've seen from Aaron Judge throughout the regular season, setting records, if he doesn't come through in this series and they lose to the Guardians, will it make you think differently about Aaron Judge?
It won't make me think. Well, listen, when you say differently, the trajectory of his career and his legend, right, is being formed now. So it's not like, oh, now I think less of him. But would we think even more of him if he came through in a deciding playoff game? Of course. Of course you would. It would enhance everything.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
You get elevated up in the postseason. I'm still living off my postseason success. Still living off of that. You know, it's like, I'm still eating because it was success that happened in the postseason.
You know what Steve Garvey, a great Dodgers first baseman, said about Reggie and when he hit his 3rd home run? He said he clapped in his glove. Even as a Dodger playing him, he's like, you just had to give it up. Right? Like, that's when the myth is born, more than anything. Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion, and co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Sports Radio with us now. Morning, Willie.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Willie, before we get into the Jets and the Giants and football and all that, we know you're a big Yankees fan. How are you feeling about Game 5?
Man, I, to be honest, I took the postponement as a blessing in disguise. You know, you go into this Game 5 elimination game, you got to understand Cleveland probably has a better bullpen. But I feel comfortable with Nestor starting today. I'm glad they announced him to be the starter. I was a little nervous considering that he did get knocked around a little bit in Game 2. But tonight's our night. I think we're rested, ready to go. The Bronx is going to be rocking at 4 o'clock.
So, Willie, we were just having a conversation about, and the guys were articulating their perspective on the fact that your name gets cemented in legacy forever in October. Like, this is the time of year that your legacy is built. So, considering the dominance that Aaron Judge has had throughout the regular season, if he doesn't have anywhere close to that dominance in the postseason, how ultimately would you put that into perspective, Aaron Judge, overall?
Well, I think it means more considering that we've been invested, right? We've been invested with the home run chase, the clippings, and we've been following this man all season. You know, now that he has hit 62, I don't think we're done with him, and he can't be done with us. He needs to show up in the month of October because this is where your legacy is built. I heard Keyshawn talk about it a little. You know, Mr. October, when you bear that title, it's because you show up in October. The Yankees need him. His bat has to talk for us to get ahead. So this is everything. 62 was great. It was big for baseball. It was good for Yankee lore. But the month of October has to be led by Aaron Judge.
Speaking of October, the New York Jets are rolling in the month of October right now. So far through 6 weeks, they're 4-2 in the season. How do they look to you, Willie?
Well, Key, you know, this is a team, man. When you start the season with 37-year-old quarterback and Joe Flacco, Zach Wilson on the injured reserve, you talk about Mekhi Becton being a guy who's a key staple for this offensive line, being on IR, they bring in big Dwayne Brown, who's 37 years old, who, you know, was supposed to kind of be a plug-and-play guy. They kind of do their physical evaluation. He needs shoulder surgery. And then he says, no, you know what, I'm a ball player. I'm not going to take the bag and run. I'm going to step up and play, and he's been absolutely phenomenal. But what we're seeing overall from this Jets team, we're seeing immediate impact from first and second-year guys. You talk about Breece Hall, the running back, who had 20 carries for 116 yards. You're seeing Sauce Gardner, who's lights out. You're talking about Quentin Williams. After Sunday's game beating the Packers, he should definitely be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. And so you're starting to see players and young players, these baby Jets starting to emerge. So you're watching the maturation period of this team come alive, and they're legit. And I think the identity of this team, especially on the offensive side, is ground and pound. And defensive side, you know, it's Quentin Williams and his secondary with, you know, the combination of Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. And credit Kalon Alexander, credit CJ Mosley. They're starting to come together. So when you hear, you know, Robert Saleh talk about the receipts, this is what he's been waiting for, because he knew this team could be what they are today. They just had to prove it. They had to put it on tape. And now we're watching it right before our very eyes.
Willie, let me throw you a curveball here. Which, talking to Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champion, and co-host of Morning Men, a Mad Dog Sports Radio here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, by the way. So let me throw you a curveball here. The two New York quarterbacks, Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones, who are you more impressed by this season so far?
For me, it's probably Daniel Jones. The problem with there was never a question of what Zach could do. He's an old-world talent, super athletic. He has the arm. It's just a matter from the neck up for him. He had to calm down. I think he's playing a lot more calm. He's making the right decisions. But Daniel Jones, I think, has had to muster through a lot. You talk about not having a definite number one. His offensive line has been a shamble. His defense has been up and down. You know, when he was drafted into the Giants, he's supposed to be the heir apparent to Eli Manning and everything that would, you know, just being a part of it, that Manning tribe, so to speak. He had to embody more, and he's been through multiple coaches. So I think Daniel, to be in this point, at this point with this team, say what you want about him. You know, he doesn't have a receiving core that's like, you know, that blows you out the water. There are a bunch of lunch pail guys out there he's making it work with, and they're winning games. So for me, Daniel Jones has definitely been the most impressive.
What do you think that the Giants need position-wise to kind of compete with the Eagles and the Cowboys for the division?
For me, it's the receiver position. I think they got to get a guy like you, Keith, who can flat out go get it and move the sticks. When all hell is at your face mask, man, they need a guy who can just win on the outside. They don't have that. If they're able to get that, I think they can really give them the lift they're looking for.
Yeah, well, that guy's not just walking around down the West Side Highway. So
right.
They got to figure it out, Jay. They certainly need to figure it out. When you look at Zach Wilson, back to the Jets for a minute, is he there?
Sure.
I know he's their number one, number two pick overall, but is in his eyes, on your eyes, based on the way he's played this year, is he the franchise quarterback or is there still some reservation?
I think right now, that's a good question. I think right now there was some reservation, but I think as of late, especially if you go back to his first start against Pittsburgh in that fourth quarter when he went 5-for-5, he was able to connect with Corey Davis and lead him to victory. And then going to the next week in Miami, he played a lot more calm. He seems more poised. He seems like he knows what to do within the offense. I think him landing in New York and everything that comes along with New York as far as, you know, the same old Jets being a circus and the culture as itself, I think he walked into New York like, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the superhero. Now he's looking around him. Now he has a cast of other guys who are all in, young and hungry. He doesn't have to be that guy. So I think there's a little more ease with him. And I think the fact that, you know, prior to that Pittsburgh, his start of the season, he hadn't played since last year at Buffalo. So there was a big question mark on who is Zach Wilson? Can he be the guy moving forward? I think as of late, he's been phenomenal. I think he's been poised. I think he's been calm. He's not throwing the ball as much. They're leaning on the ground and pound. That offensive line for the Jets is playing phenomenal, led by Elijah. So they have enough pieces around him where he doesn't have to be the guy to win it. Now he has just to play within the offense, and things will manifest, and you come out on top with victories, and they're doing it right now.
Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman, co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Sports Radio, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Willie, watching Tom Brady over this past weekend, I am curious, as a former player, if a guy like that were berating you on the sidelines, ultimately,
yeah,
how would you react?
Hey, come on out.
How would you react?
No, former offensive lineman.
Well, Keith, let's be 100. This is the most I've seen from looking in, disconnected, we've seen Tom football. I can't remember a time where he misses Wednesday practice. He goes to a wedding for Robert Kraft. Val is Robert Kraft. And then he flies into Pittsburgh. This is still the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's still a historic franchise. I just never seen this disconnect. And Valley, he has a lot going on off the field, but he doesn't seem like he's all in. And if I'm an offensive lineman, a part of that offensive line, who, by the way, the Buccaneers offensive line, they've had some significant injuries up front. And now you have a quarterback who seems like he's not checked in. He's a little bit all over the place. Valley, he's still Tom Brady. He's still putting up great numbers. But he just doesn't seem like there's a distraction there. We all kind of know the distraction because of the divorce and whatever he may be going through. But to get yelled like that and berate and gets a Blitzburg defense, it would have set me the wrong way. I think there's a way you go about your business, yelling at your offensive line, especially when you're battling your tail up front. It could rub you the wrong way. Getting lashed like that in front of the public wouldn't have set well. Me and Tom would have had to take a walk down the sideline and talk.
Mm. Willie, Russell Wilson has. It's not just that they're not winning; they're now 2-4 because they could have won last night. They'd be 3-3, right? It's the way it looks, especially when you compare it. And Key said, no, it's going to be the same thing with Geno Smith in Seattle before the season. Key, you're crazy. Geno Smith, come on, I've seen that. But it is. Geno Smith kind of looks like Russell Wilson with Pete Carroll. And so you start to raise your eyebrow. And wait a minute, how much of that was the situation? And Russell Wilson, it looks a mess in Denver. Why do you think it hasn't worked out so far?
I don't know why. I think it starts with Nathaniel Hackett. With all the doors too deep for him.
Hold on, Willie, you're breaking up so much we can't hear what you're saying. Can you start that again?
Yeah, I apologize. You hear me now?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, I apologize. I think it starts with the head coach. I think that Nathaniel Hackett seems like he's in deep water. Like he doesn't really have his grips on the team, and I think it's translating onto the field. And I think Russ right now, he just seems very erratic. I don't know how to say it any better. I think the first half he lit it up last night, and the second half you can't find him no more. And I know he's going through some injuries. You talk about the lat, and I know he pulled a hamstring. But there's definitely a disconnect with him and his receiving corps. And for defensively, I think the Broncos are good. I think Patrick Surtain II is probably one of the best corners in the game. So defensively, I think they can hold up. But offensively, there's a disconnect. And I think it starts with the head coach. And I think it starts with Russ. And I think he's maybe battling some things that he can't overcome right now. But I'm shocked that he's not playing better, actually.
Willie, as you look into this season now and things are starting to shake out to some degree after we get through the first quarter of the season, who do you have more faith in to finish the deal, get their season turned around? Terrific Tom Brady in Tampa or Aaron, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, Rodgers in Green Bay?
I'm going to lean on Tom Brady. I am. I think he's going to be I think once he kind of gets a hold of, you know, I think the issue right now is, you know, how committed is he to, you know, really turning it around, right? It seems like there's so much going on with him off the field. And, you know, can he dial in and can he be able to put the Superman cape and win games for the Buccaneers? And I know he can. It's just a matter of him doing it. And I just see him turning around. I think he has that type of talent. I think he's, you know, he's the GOAT, for Christ's sake. So you can never count him out. And I've seen him play. I've been on the field with him. If anybody has that type of it, he has it. So I can see Tom Brady getting it done.
Mm, terrific, Tom.
So in terms of, like, this is a big question in New York sports right now with the Giants and the Jets, Willie, because they're both, one is 5-1, one is 4-2.
Sure.
Which one is a realer threat in their division, right? The Patriots start to look good now with Bailey Zappi and obviously Bill Belichick. The Dolphins have quarterback problems, but before that, they looked really good. The Buffalo Bills, a lot of people consider them Super Bowl favorites, including Vegas. And they look like maybe the best team in football, certainly in the conference at the moment. And on the other, the Giants in the division with the Eagles and the Cowboys both flying high right now. Which team do you think is a realer threat in their division?
For me, it's the Jets, to be honest. I think the fact that their identity is starting to be exposed. And I mean, from an offense standpoint, you talk about they got the rookie in Garrett Wilson, who's come alive for them. You got to talk about Breece Hall and Michael Carter, the running back duo they have, who's doing well. You talk about the offensive line, who has been playing extremely well and playing with hats who we haven't seen thus far. Led once again by Elijah Vera Tucker. You got big Dwayne Brown on the outside. And the thing about this score from Davis is playing well as well. But the key thing is once they get Elijah Moore more attached to this offense, they're going to be legit. And I think Zach is starting to calm down. His feet seem a little more at peace in the pocket. He's making the right decisions. And offensively, they legit. On the defense side of the ball, Quentin Williams has just been he's been a wrecking machine. And what's more impressive, besides Sauce Gardner, Quentin Williams, a call to start coming to his own. He's coming off the Achilles heel injury. This thing right now is starting to look like, man, if they continue to get hot, being a threat, teams are going to get nervous about him. And what I loved about Sunday's game against Green Bay, special teams, they showed up. They had a block punt, a block field goal. They're playing all three phases of football, which we haven't seen from the New York Jets, and they're playing with the attitude. So I like that the most, and they're playing physical, and they're getting to the football and rallying. And offensively, man, they're not afraid to just go get it. So I like the ground and pound mentality they have. I like the fact that defense is backing it up. I love the fact that the special teams unit is doing a hell of a job for them.
Really,
so for me, it's the New York Jets.
I should have known better, former Jets offensive line. That's not the answer I was looking for. I was looking for the New York football.
I'm sorry.
Fans. I'm sorry. I cannot accept that answer. I can't take that. I noticed when you're labeled Super Bowl champion and someone sees you played for the Jets and another team, guess where you won the Super Bowl championship?
Just speaking facts, Max.
One with the Jets, right. Willie Colon. Boy, I hope you're wrong. There he is, Willie Colon, former NFL offensive lineman and Super Bowl champion, not with the Jets, and co-host of Morning Men on Mad Dog Sports Radio. Thanks, Willie.
All right, Willie.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, Pete.
All right, WC.
Which team?
What's wrong with you, man?
At 3-3, guys, right? 500 with 11 weeks to go, 11 games to go, has the best shot of turning things around and making a real run in the entire NFL. Which 3-3 team?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Green Bay has struggled this year, and I'm starting to worry about them a little bit.
Hand off Dylan. Fumble the football, and the Jets have it.
That's the most impressive performance by the New York Jets in a decade, and it has the potential to be the beginning of something truly special.
Don't do it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
What's up, Jay?
On ESPN Radio.
Yeah, shots, Key.
J-Dub.
You can hear us 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern, daily, or weekdays.
He's the worst.
What's that?
Because I obviously have a habit that I give people nicknames. It happens all the time.
I didn't say anything about a nickname.
He said J-Dub.
That's not a nickname.
When have you ever
called it? Abbreviation. J-Dub's abbreviation. That's not a nickname, right?
Yeah, no, it would be a nickname because you didn't say, when you say J-Dub, you're
a nickname is like 7-Eleven or to the cup. What's up to the
well,
cup?
Well, it's kind of both. Nickname, it's right? Kind of both. He's abbreviating the letter W. So that part
yeah,
is
I guess, yeah. J-Dub. Yeah. But, you know, Keith never calls me J-Dub, ever.
Right.
Why so would it's I also ever call the tone. You J-Dub?
You just did. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's a nickname.
Just because that's what you do. Because
you make it. That's what I'm saying. I was making that point.
Got to give everyone corny nicknames. J-Dog.
I don't call you
J-Dog.
J-Dog.
Yeah,
I call you MK, though.
No, you
don't.
Max. Yeah, once in a blue, you call me MK.
Once every once in a while.
Yeah.
I guess I do it a lot.
See, a nickname for me would be Kale Dog.
Kel Dog.
Kel Dog.
Yeah. You ever give your friend like a corny nickname on purpose, try to see if it sticks?
Kel Dog.
Big K or something like that.
That's not
special K.
Special K.
Give somebody a corny ass nickname and keep calling it to keep calling
until
it messes
with them.
Yeah. No, J-Dub, cool, though. You're all right. We hung out at Duke.
There you go again. There he goes.
What?
You can't help yourself. Man. See, Key's already came out and said, it's Key, so it's easy.
Guys, you know, it's 9:32 AJM in the morning. It's too early for this. You got to put a J. If you don't put a J, anytime there's an M or a K anywhere in an abbreviation, there has to be a J, and or J gets very upset.
Well, you just can't leave my name out of the show.
Of course not.
Who leaves your name out of the show?
Max, he said KM.
No, I never
he
did.
He skipped over me.
I didn't. He did.
No, you did, Max.
I did?
You did it.
I'm sorry. I'll never make that
MK.
Mistake again.
Right? Ain't that what I said?
You don't even know what you said.
Yankees game starts. Don't forget, ESPN radio coverage begins 3:30 PJM
so
this afternoon. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. I blew it. I should have said Keyshawn and Max just then. I blew it. Damn it. I set it up and I blew it.
You forgot it. You just said it and then you forgot it.
All right, listen. Slump or jump on 3-3 teams, Shannon. I have to V bring him in, according
to
my
screen.
Here
we go. V bring me in.
I'll V bring you in.
All right, here we go.
SH, let's go.
Yes, what's up, Shannon?
All right, slump or jump. Look, we got several teams around the NFL that are currently sitting at 3-3. I need you guys to tell me if they're going to turn it around or they're destined for things worse to come. I don't, that didn't sound great, but either way, we'll keep it moving. All right, slump or jump, 3-3 teams. Key, I will start with you. Green Bay Packers, slump or jump, will you stand with the Packers?
I think they jump. I think they jump out of this slump. They get things turned around. I'm not so worried about them like everybody else because Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. And anytime you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you are destined to make the playoffs. And maybe 5, 6, or 7 is much better than 1-4 for them because they've been in those 1 and 2 spots before and they've been at home. In fact, when they won their Super Bowl, they were not they were a wild card team. They were not the division leaders, so to speak, and having a bye.
Neither. I say hover. I think they just hover. I don't see their defense.
It's hump.
Carrying them.
It's not slump or jump. What
it's
is
hump.
It? It's bump.
Bump.
Hump.
I guess. I don't know. Whatever
dump?
You want to call it.
I don't know.
It. Hover. I think they'll be right in between. I think they'll find ways to win games. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think it's going to be way more difficult than what people think.
I think a jump, although I got to say I'm looking ahead at all the teams. I don't think, like, if everyone jumps, then who's slumping, right? You got to get those wins somewhere. I'm going to have to figure out who I think is going to slump because I think the Packers are going to jump.
All right, the next team here on Slump or Jump, Key, let's go out to L.A. Los Angeles Rams, slump or jump at 3-3.
I feel like they're going to jump, but I'm going to say they're going to slump right now. Until they get things turned around, the San Francisco 49ers own the Los Angeles Rams. Although San Francisco didn't have a great showing against the Atlanta Falcons, I think it's going to be tough in that division. The Seahawks and Geno Smith, they typically split with the Rams. And in this situation, I think that the Rams are still trying to find their identity, although they did just win last weekend.
So was your answer slump or jump?
I said
you, said you said both.
No, I said I think they're going to jump, but I want – what did I say? I said I want to say jump, but I think they're going to slump is what I said.
Ah.
So slump.
Slump, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, whatever you say.
J-Dub, come on, man.
You're the expert, Key.
Well, I am.
Yes,
the,
you
yeah,
put,
I
yeah,
am the expert.
Key-Dog, it's J-Dog's turn.
Well, if J-W leaves me alone.
Children. I think, though. I think they'll slump. I'm not a believer in Jimmy G like that when it's all said and done. I know you are, Max.
Well, I'm going to say slump right now because the whole defense is hurt, right? Like, that's the problem.
Oh, we're talking about the Rams.
We're talking about the Rams.
See, that's what you get.
49ers. That is what I get.
That's what you get.
He jumped to the 49ers.
I think they'll be okay. I think they'll jump. I think they'll jump when it's all said and done. I think getting Van Jefferson back, I think getting some other pieces back as they get healthy, I think they'll jump.
See, this is the one where I want to bump, if that means stay the same. I think the Rams are going to basically do this year. So, but if I have to pick slump or jump, I'm going to have to say jump because McVay wins a lot.
And I think Todd Bowles meant that the Rams are still living off the Super Bowl, not the Buccaneers.
Ah.
You finally,
right.
Just put that together 2 days later?
No,
it just came to you?
No.
It just came to me now.
I was talking about what Todd Bowles said about his Buccaneer team that won the Super Bowl
two years ago,
not last year. So then I said that the Rams, he meant to say the Rams because the Rams won it last year, J-Dub.
Right, Shannon.
Wait, is the soup too hot? Is the soup too cold? Aha!
Aha!
Go ahead.
Well, since you guys mentioned Super Bowl hangovers, let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals, Key. Slump or jump? Bengals at 3-3. What you got?
I think they're going to jump. They're starting to kind of trend. Although 2 weeks ago they did lose to the Ravens, I think they're starting to get their little bit of mojo back again. They're going to be a wild card type team. They're going to probably win the division because I just don't believe in the Ravens right now. In Cleveland, I think they're going to sputter along and make it challenging in the end. But I think Cincinnati finds themselves probably knocking on that door of some sort of wild card.
I know they just won their game, and I know that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow connected for a big TD down the stretch. But, like, no Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, the Saints team was completely depleted. I kind of feel like maybe they'll jump, but it's not as big of a jump as people think.
Jump. They're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're going to be in the playoffs.
They'll be in the playoffs. I mean, they should be in the playoffs considering.
By the way, Joe Burrow. Just get used to a career that feels very lucky, right? It's going to feel very lucky for Joe Burrow. He's going to be in the playoffs.
Joe B.
All right, slump or jump. Slump or jump. We're looking at these 3-3 teams. Next team on the list, Key, Baltimore Ravens. Slump or jump. What you got?
I'm slumping. They can't figure it out right now. Lamar Jackson is putting too much pressure on himself to try to do it all by himself. And until they can get things going in the secondary as well as on the run in the running game outside of Lamar Jackson, you talk about making a play. Go make a play for Christian McCaffrey if you're the Baltimore Ravens.
I think they'll make a jump. I mean, and I think schedule depends upon where a team can go as well. So I think Browns at home, at Bucks, watching the Bucks struggle. Saints are depleted, Panthers, Jags, Broncos, Steelers, Browns again, Falcons. I think they're going to jump. I think they'll find a rhythm.
Okay, I think they're going to jump. But I got to say, Key, everyone's talking, like, thinking about McCaffrey to the Bills, right? Could the Bills get a guy like that? If the Ravens got Christian McCaffrey, what the hell do you do with Lamar Jackson and Christian McCaffrey on the same team?
Ooh.
If that was a video game, imagine that. What do you do?
Key, that's a Tennessee
offense.
That's hard.
That's hard to defend. But, yeah, I think they're going to jump.
All right, guys, one more team here in slump or jump, looking at 3-3 teams. I need quick answers here, Key. I'll start with you. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 3-3, slump or jump?
I think they jump because the division's not good.
Jump. Tom Brady, at the end of the day, I'll bet on Tom.
Jump. I have everyone jumping. Jump. See, there's got to be something's got to give. I have to have someone slumping, but I don't. I would have taken the Patriots to slump. I take the Vikings to slump.
Well, you can't
but they're
just
not,
make this
but
game
the
up
Vikings
by yourself.
Aren't 3-3.
You can't just ask yourself questions.
Max?
You were that kid in school.
But you know that's what he does at home. Before he comes here in the morning,
he stands
in the mirror. Max has always been that kid. When he was 12 years old, he was standing in the mirror. I'm at Yankee Stadium live here.
No, when I was 12, I was imagining
Muhammad Ali just had a low blow to the stomach.
When I was 12, I was imagining I was hitting the home run at Yankee Stadium. 12, you're still daydreaming. All right.
His mom used to always come to him and say, Max, will you be quiet in there?
Well, that was for other
will
reasons.
Will you stop talking?
That was for other
yes,
reasons.
I heard that a lot. Who's having the more disappointing season meantime? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson?
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
So have you guys heard about what happened after the Tennessee-Alabama game with the goalposts coming down? The interesting twist.
How could you miss it? It's all over the place.
Exactly. So Tennessee, the school, opened up an online donation portal seeking $150,000. So I guess they could replenish the goalposts, put them back up. But it led to a different conversation. I don't know if you guys have ever been in this, Max, you being down on the field or on the court. But, Key, I'm sure you had. Like, there were times that we lost games in college, especially at UVA, where they would storm the court. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when they stormed the court, it led to altercations between the players and the fans. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, like, watching all the Tennessee fans come down on the field with the Alabama fans, players still being on the field. Can you ever get into a situation like that at all?
No, because we were upset only once in college at Notre Dame, and it was at Notre Dame. And I think I left the field with seconds to go, so I had already started walking off the field. It was over. It was a wrap. It wasn't a need for me to stand around and watch somebody else celebrate. But it looks very dangerous. In fact, the SEC conference fined Tennessee, the school, $100,000 for the students' actions of storming the field. Tennessee hadn't beat Alabama and Nick Saban in 15 tries.
15 tries. Yeah.
They hadn't done it in 15 consecutive tries.
I swear, I wish the NCAA would just ban court storming or field storming.
No, it's cool, though.
Yeah, it's not, though.
Why?
Because if I'm on the field and some drunken fan comes at me and pushes me and my hands go up, then we're in a do-or-die situation.
Oh, that's like LeGarrette Blount when he was at Oregon. I'm trying to think. I think he cold-clunked was it a player or a fan?
I don't remember, but
you remember that.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
That happened at the end of the game. They beat Oregon, Boise State, and some. I'm not sure if it was a fan or, to your point, Jay, or if it was a player. Yeah, screaming at LeGarrette.
But if it's a fan on the field of play where they're not supposed to be technically, then what happens to them in an altercation with a player shouldn't be held against the player unless it's something egregious, right?
It was Boise State, LeGarrette Blount, yeah.
Yeah, it was LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
But
that's why I just don't like where the opportunity then can be escalated while players are still on the field.
Down, is this specific to college? Because I think of lots of instances in the pros.
They don't do that in the pros. They don't do this in the pros.
No, not in that, but like I can think of baseball moments. Yeah, they used to.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Reggie Jackson and had to duck out of the way.
Think about it. Lakers used to beat the Celtics, or the Celtics beat the Lakers. Fans used to storm the field in the 80s.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, storm the court. And baseball all the time. They'd be pouring out. Historic moment, and fans would be at. People be running around.
Not us, though.
Yeah, nah.
Mm-mm. We don't do that.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hold on one second. I'm going to see if Jay's available.
Jay, he's right there.
So Hollywood. I'm going to find it. If I could, hold on one second. I'm going to see if I can find Mr. Williams.
Let me find him. Oh, I'll shoot him an email. He's right next to you. I'm looking at you.
He's at a meeting right now. No, he's not at a meeting. I just heard you tell him something.
All right, fine. I'll give you guys my number.
That's a weird thing, man.
Could you imagine
I've never
that?
Seen that before. I've never noticed. I would never in a million years expect to have a teammate that I couldn't just hit him.
No, I'll tell you a story. Go ahead, finish that. I'm going to tell
you
a story.
That I couldn't just hit him. Be like, yo, what you doing tonight? You want to grab dinner or what's up? I would never imagine having to go through a manager to get connected to my teammate.
Teammates are crazy sometimes. So I'm not going to name this teammate or anything like that. But we were at the Super Bowl in Miami one year. And me and one of my business partners, and Brian Kelly, played with me in Tampa Bay. We run into this teammate.
Okay.
And Brian says, hey, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you to talk to you. I've been trying to get a hold of you because we're doing this doc and we want to, you know, try to evolve. You know, he told BK, he goes, yeah, I saw that. You're on the list for me to get back to.
Oh, my God.
So BK goes, oh, it's cool, man. Never mind. We don't even need you.
Kept you good.
And I looked at him. I said, yeah, we good. He said, You're on the list for me to get back to. He was like, oh, okay.
What about people? That's a legitimate question, though. What about people, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app? What about people who legitimately have so many incoming calls that they gotta have a call sheet.
I know who that is.
Your teammates are different.
No, I get it. But even a teammate,
not Jimmy Pitaro, Max.
I'm saying, but Jimmy Pitaro has a life, right?
He has a call sheet. Jimmy P told me that he saw it and he get back to me. I understand you, Jimmy.
Jimmy Pitaro is the president of ESPN, by the way.
You got 50 million people that you're dealing with on the daily. You got NFL contracts you got to deal with. You got talent contracts. You got this. That's different. But I mean a teammate
on a football team with a billion people on it. I mean a teammate like Tom Brady or someone like that.
Max,
yeah.
Seriously. Like, no.
But I wish you would. I just want you to think about something. You said Tom Brady.
Yeah.
The greatest quarterback.
That's why I brought it up.
Ever played again.
That's why Russell Wilson.
But that's a big drop off.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's like, acting. There seems to be a disconnect about who he is and who he thinks he is, right? According to teammates and stuff.
I mean, I might give a pass to Tom because Tom's going through a lot of stuff. But as a teammate,
Tom
not
if you've been pass. In the
trenches. You want a teammate somebody. To return your call.
You've been in the trenches with somebody. Come on, man.
Yep.
Tom a pass. I'm not giving Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick a pass. If I call your ass, you better call me back.
Yep.
I should be able to call you, and even if I don't have your direct line and I call the secretary, she better pass you the message. You better call me back.
Right.
Because if you don't, I'm going to light your ass up when I get a chance.
All right, I got to remember to get back to Key.
Please.
I just connect them to
you're on the list.
It's fine.
Who's having a more
J-Dub.
Important
–
Who's having a more disappointing season, do you think? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Russell Wilson?
I mean, I got this question kind of sort of on another show that I'm going to be on today. I'm going to say with these three, I'm just going to say Russell Wilson. Yeah. Even though I knew that this was what it was going to be going in, it's just a little disturbing to see play out. And then Jay shows me some pictures and some stuff. It's a lot going on. It's a lot. Just too much, man.
That's easy for me. It's Russ. It's not even a question. Tom Brady's going to get the benefit of the doubt because he's going through stuff. It doesn't seem like the pressure is as heavy on Todd Bowles, even though it is. Right? Obviously, Coach LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, it seems like there's more upside. But not having a running game, Nathaniel Hackett, first year, people really questioning him as a guy, is it really translating to the locker room? Seeing people side-eye Russell Wilson on the sideline multiple primetime games – and the whole facade around Russ, it's Denver.
They got him booed in their own stadium, in
Power Stadium. They got him booed.
I agree with that. First of all, Russell Wilson is not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. They're qualitatively different levels of quarterback. They're all Super Bowl winners. They'll probably be two of them for sure. One of them probably.
Russ will probably be a Hall of Famer.
But Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, there's no question. Shoo-ins. Right, okay. So, and Russell Wilson, in his defense, let me just say, first-time head coach, and he's new with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, new team, first time OC, and the head coach looks in over his head by all accounts. He's 2-4. The other guys are 3-3. There's a lot of time to go still, but so far I probably agree with you. Tom Brady, though, and we could table Aaron Rodgers for a second.
And Max, also for a second, and with Russ, the fact that Hackett was there because he was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers'
Yeah, it
guy.
Looked that way. It looked that way. The
allegedly,
were.
It seems like it's supposed to be Aaron Rodgers.
I want to get
guy.
To Brady for a second because Brady, unlike Rodgers, is not dealing with, my best receiver's gone. They were for times, but not because they're just gone and now he's dealing with rookies. It's, you know, he's going to have his complement of receivers complete at some point, maybe even with Gronk. We'll see what happens there. He's with a coach he's familiar with, who he wanted there, obviously. And I was about to play you something Tom Brady was going to say, but listen to this. Here's Tom Brady on Let's Go with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray on the Bucks 3-3 start to the season.
Let's go.
There's MK. Earned enough points. We're not playing well in the red area. We've been very inconsistent on third down. The game is about points. You know, it's not about yard, time of possession. All those things factor in, but the deciding factor in every game, and this is to point out the complete obvious, is points. Did you score more points than the other team? And in three games we have, another three games we haven't. Even in the three games we won, we haven't played the way we're capable, certainly offensively. So, you know, we've all are kind of licking our wounds, looking at the last 6 weeks and trying to do a lot better, having more communication about things that we think we need to do moving forward. And it's going to be a big challenge. You know, we have a big challenge ahead of us. Things don't magically just solve themselves. You know, things have to become solved. You have to put the right time and emphasis into the things in order to improve them. And we got a lot of work to do.
So look, he's not wrong about anything he's saying. I think one of the issues that with Tom Brady is just the way it looks, Keith. When you say it just doesn't look right, he doesn't look right recently. The offense doesn't look right.
Going through a lot personally in his life. I mean, a lot of stress. You can look at him and tell he's going through the motions. And again, I don't care. I could care less about him not going on the flight with the team because I'm sure he was prepared. I could care less about that. J-Dub? Yeah.
So annoying sometimes.
Me annoying?
Me? Who? Me?
Annoying?
Keyshawn Johnson?
Have you looked at yourself in the mirror, sir?
So my face is annoying to you. That's what you're trying to tell me.
You said that I didn't.
You just said, have you looked at yourself in the mirror?
Jay, can you change your face, please? You're annoying, Keyshawn.
This guy makes fun of my nose. He makes fun of my face.
We are back tomorrow morning.
You're a horrible teammate.
6 a.m.
One single continuous mustache. Get in the middle.
6 a.m. We're back. Greeny up next. ESPN Radio.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.